Folks, Dan Ferreiro here with your opening bell for June 10th, 2025. So mortgage rates sneezed a little bit yesterday, but today we're going to talk a little bit more about this right through here. This is the national debt clock. This is how much debt we have as a country. Look at it. That's crazy. This is how much debt we're underwater. So what happens when the government spends money, anything that they can't afford, we put on a credit card. They put on these things. So let's look at a consumer right now. How strong is the consumer? We really don't have a lot of economic news out today. I'll show you the economic calendar. But let's look at the consumer and see how healthy the consumer is, or are they? Let's get over to it, folks. So my name is Dan Ferreiro. I do this video actually twice a day to help you guys understand what's going on with these. If you're looking to buy or refinance, I'd love to be able to help you. I'm actually a federally licensed loan officer. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. And our slogan here is one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. Now, how in the world could we do that? I'll give you all that information at the end of this video. So let's get over to today's news. So here's what we're seeing. The national debt clock, it is still flying away as usual. We're waiting for the government to come in and sign that big, beautiful tax bill. Is it going to add to this or not? That's one of the contentious things that we're seeing right now. But you go over through here and the biggest reports that we have right now, I want to focus in on the treasury markets because the bond market is where all these things originate from. Okay, so let's get over to the bond market. Here's a quick thing right here. Popular U.S. Treasury bet risks being next pain point, is it? Well, that's what we're going to focus in on a little bit. Then consumer spending, how's it looking? We're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at what the MBS or the market's doing right now in regards to this, because we really don't have much economic news today. Let's look at today's data. We have short-term outlook, three-year auction note, President Trump going to talk, and API crude inventory. So nothing's really going to happen today in the markets unless there's a trigger point, like maybe China and we settle with something or something else. But then on Wednesday, here's where a lot of the data comes in. We're going to get the CPI consumer inflation. We're going to have a 10-year bond auction. We're going to see how that goes as well. We'll get the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. That will give us some insight into these numbers right through here as well. And then we're going to go in on Friday. Here's one more data that's coming in. We're going to get, I skipped over Thursday. Thursday, we're going to have the PPI, the producer inflation numbers coming in on Thursday. So tomorrow, we're getting the consumer inflation. On Thursday, we're getting the producer inflation. On Friday, really not much of anything, but the markets are going to have take a nice time to digest this data. So what we want to talk about in today's video, since there's really no economic news, is let's start talking about treasuries, because the bond market is really what's in control of this right through here. So to find out more about that, we look at the consumer spending, and here's what we're looking at. Consumers in January didn't really spend that much, and then in February is 0.4, March 0.7, and then all of a sudden in April, it cut back. What actually happened? Let's get over to this take right through here. I want you guys to understand what the consumer's doing right now. Are they healthy? Are they not healthy? Because we know the national government right now, they're trying like Dickens to work on this stuff here. But how's actually the consumer at this time? So let's get over and look at that report, see how healthy the consumer is at this point. Is it to be something to be scared about? Let's take it over to CNBC and check out today's video.
The Bank of America Institute has released the consumer checkpoint for the month of June. Debit and credit card spending increased by 0.8% year over year. That's down from the growth from the previous month, where it was up by 1%. Joining us right now to break it all down is Liz Everett Crisberg. She's the head of Bank of America Institute. Liz, what is this telling us?
Well, I think the headline number was up, but really what I was paying attention to in the data this month is the seasonally adjusted SAR number, which was down 0.9. That's the first time we've seen consumer spending actually contract in over a year. Huh. So there is a bit of a change here. Now, when we dig into the details and I look at the composition of that spending, and when I also look at wage growth, which actually accelerated again, I'm a little less concerned. But that pullback in spending was driven by a couple of factors.
This has been a long time coming. People keep saying, oh, the recession is coming, the recession is coming, the recession is coming. Your data has said, no, we don't see any sign of it.
We have been saying, what we've seen in the data is that spending continued to accelerate. But this month, for the first time, we saw it pull back. Again, looking at it on a seasonally adjusted SAR basis,
So what I want you to understand, though, she is from Bank of America. She doesn't represent, you know, all financial institutions. It's kind of like ADP. ADP has their payroll kind of database to work off of, and that's what they work off of. So could their data be skewed a little bit? Yeah, because, again, she's from Bank of America. She's looking at Bank of America data. And when we get a lot of ADP payroll numbers, they're just the ADP data. Or the federal government, it's surveys, but it's a broader range of clientele out there. But here's what she's going to go over. Consumer spending slowed. Is it something to be scary about? Well, airlines, if you go to the airport, it is crazy busy there. And then I learned something this morning. Young consumers rely on credit and BNPL. I was kind of like Becky. She's going to ask it in a minute. What is BNPL? What's buy now, pay later? I'm going to talk about that briefly here in a minute. But let's finish this interview so you can understand the strength of the consumer at this time.
But again, going into what was driving that, I think there were a couple of factors. One, gas prices were down. Gas spending was down 1%. That's because of prices.
Okay.
Two, weather was kind of like it is in New York today, unseasonably cold, rainy. But I think the most important thing that we saw that drove this was a payback to the tariff buy ahead. So in March, in April, you saw consumers loading up on durables, on autos, on electronics. In anticipation of tariffs and electronics specifically. In March, they were up 4%. In April, they were up almost double that, 8%. In May, they pulled back. They were down a little over 1%. So I think you're seeing a little bit of that payback. But again, the other offset that I think about is what's going on in the wages, right? So there's a couple seasonal factors there, but wage growth accelerated again. And we had seen wage growth slowing.
Okay, folks, and I get a lot of flack from you guys when people say this. So again, she's from Bank of America. She's just saying nationally what she sees in her database is wages going up. You might disagree with that, but we have to at least focus in on some of the data points that we're getting from banks, ADP, and other institutions. We can't all just say, oh, that's false information and just move on. That's one thing I want to make sure you guys are understanding. Just because you don't agree with the data or maybe don't understand the data doesn't mean the data is wrong. Okay. So that's basically what I want to come across with.
Lower income wages went up from 1.5 to 1.9. And that wage growth, that after-tax wage growth, is really what drives the consumer.
And this is based on the direct deposits that you have coming into your account.
Exactly.
So this kind of like the ADP data, but you're seeing it directly into the
account. We're seeing the after-tax amount coming into households accounts. And we're also looking at it kind of on the full household level. So the money you're getting from your standard kind of corporate traditional job, but also if you're supplementing it with gig work or whatnot, you're looking at the whole picture. And what we're seeing there is households' wage growth is accelerating again, which again lets me feel a little bit more comfortable.
Okay, so a little bit of a pullback, but you're basically saying don't worry about it.
I'm not worried yet. And again, the biggest factor in my mind is what's going on with wages. So one of the other things I think is interesting when we look at the wages is there's been a disconnect between wage growth and spending between the generations. So younger generations' wage growth are accelerating faster than older generations, but older generations are spending more. And one of the things that helps explain that, we think, is we looked at the data for younger generations, and we're seeing more millennials and more Gen Z consumers use alternative payment methods. So BNPL in particular is starting to accelerate again after that growth has really been declining.
BNPL, what's that?
Buy now, pay later.
Oh, okay.
So
even Becky didn't know what that was. Here's the scary part of that is. So if you're out there and you're watching this video, be careful. Okay, so if BNPL is like this, you ever buy something on no payments for 6 months or no payments for a year or something like that, what you have to be cognizant of is please pay attention to the details. Okay, so what happens a lot of times with this is if you don't make payments on time, you automatically are going to get triggered to pay interest. Okay, so if you miss a payment, just be careful because what they might do is retroact back all the interest that you might owe on that. If you don't pay it, let's say the setup is 3 months or 4 months on buy now, pay later. If you don't pay during that time duration, I didn't dig into this details because I just figured it out here, but I've noticed life experiences. You know, if I bought things on credit 6 months, same as cash and things like that. And years ago, somebody did tell me when I did that, they're like, please make sure you pay that final payment on time. Because if you make, let's say you make 11 payments on time and that 12th payment doesn't get there on time or didn't pay the account in full, it retros interest all the way back to the beginning. So please be very careful when you're getting into these things. They are loans, basically, because they're actually funding that purchase right out of the get-go, and you don't have to pay it back for a few months. So please read the details before you start using that that transaction base. Check out what happens if you miss a payment, or what happens if you don't make that last payment in time, or you have to stretch out another one or two payments on that. How bad is that might potentially going to affect you? So just be careful when you're doing those type of purchases. Please, that's all I ask you.
But what we can see in our data is not, we don't have a buy now, pay later product, but we can see if you've put that on your card and you're making a payment to a BNPL company.
Meaning that they're feeling a little more stressed and not willing to...
Well, maybe they're feeling more stressed, or maybe they're just taking advantage of the longer term to pay it out, right? And we now have 10% of younger consumers, of millennials and Gen Zs, who have used BNPL. It's a lot higher than older consumers, only 5% of Gen X and even lower of older consumers. But this could be, potentially, you could be worried that people are putting things on BNPL because they can't afford it. But when you look at the full picture of the data that we're seeing, we're not seeing those younger consumers who are using BNPL have higher utilization or spending more on it.
I think they're just being smart, taking advantage of it.
I think they're just taking advantage of it.
That makes sense.
I think they're just taking advantage of it.
Anything?
Pretty interesting. Then she finally says at the end, are there's anything you're really concerned about at this time?
Anything else that jumps out at you?
I mean, the only other thing I would talk about is in terms of the composition of spending, we did see services spending continue to drive, saw a big uptick in restaurant spending. And for the first time really this year, we didn't see an uptick in airline spending, but we did see that recover a little bit. So that services seems to be coming back.
So people are still flying. People are still eating out. People are still doing all the leisurely things that they're doing. So right now, it doesn't look like the consumer is cracking just yet. So that's what basically she was talking about. Let's get back to the economic calendar for today. Again, there's nothing here, folks. So nothing that should really sway the markets. If you look at the overall markets, we have the bond market right now, MBSs. They're up 4 ticks, meaning they ain't going to do anything. This has to go up 10, 12, 15 ticks up through here for really anything to move in the markets. So right now, the markets are flat when we're looking at the bond market. You look at the equity markets and look, when's the last time you saw the Dow? When I talked about this yesterday, the Dow was up 1. Okay, so the Dow today is up 5. We got the NASDAQ up 52. Everybody's just sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for right through here. The U.S.-China trade tariffs talks, what this concludes with, because this is basically the mega bomb when it comes to the tariffs and everything else. So when this thing gets settled one way or another, the markets are going to move one way or another. So if the outlook there is good, you're going to see the markets rally, mortgage rates come down. If this outlook is bad, that's going to fear higher inflation, higher everything. So that's going to cause the markets to kind of tumble from there, and interest rates being steady, maybe even tick up from at that point. So we're watching meticulously daily to see how this trade talks go, and also that big, beautiful tax bill. So that's about it for today's video. Other than this, before you go out there and you apply for a car loan or a mortgage, here's my public service announcement. Please go to optoutprescreen.com. Here's what this thing does. Did you sign up for the do not call list? Well, hopefully you did. It works, but this thing works fantastic. So before you apply for a car loan or a mortgage, please go to optoutprescreener.com. What this does is when a company or a bank pulls your credit for either a mortgage or a car loan, what happens is that credit agency, it could be Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion, now has the ability to sell your data, your financial data. If you don't want that to happen, please go to optoutprescreener. This is also going to save you about 30 phone calls from solicitors once somebody does pull your credit. So that's the report for today. So my name is Dan Frio. Like I said, I do this report 2 times a day to inform you guys what's going on with rates. So if you're looking to buy or refinance, I don't care where in the country you are, I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. Love to be able to help you. Now talking about our one application, one credit pool, 30 different lender thing. So let me explain who I am and what I do. I work at a federal bank. Okay, that means I'm federally licensed. So I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. But our bank is also a mortgage brokerage. How? Well, we're set up with 30 other lenders, actually 32 other lenders, to give you all the options. So you're calling around. Your options now are like, okay, I need to get 3, 4, 5 different quotes to figure out who's going to give me the best deal. Well, how about you use me? Because we're going to give you quotes up to 33 different lenders. How do you get there? Go to therateupdate.com. Right over to the top there, you're going to find our phone number here. If you want to ask me a question directly, just click the button. It'll go right to me, and then yours truly will be responding. Please add your phone number and your name and whatever else. I'd love to give you a call, text, or email. You can schedule, you can put in your application right through here. And then if you scroll down through here, we just handpicked 6 of the top 3,000 videos that we have. So if you're looking to buy a house, if you're a disabled veteran, check out this program here that we have. If you're looking to try to figure out your increase your credit scores because you're this close to maybe a 700 or 800, check out this as well. But if you're a homeowner, please check out the Rate Watch tool that we have. So next time mortgage rates come down a little bit lower, right to that range where you're looking to refinance, we can lock you in and get the paperwork started. So thanks for watching, folks. God bless. Have a fantastic afternoon. If you need my help or assistance looking to buy or refinance, please reach out to us. We'd love to help. Have a great day. I'll see you back later this afternoon. God bless. Have a fantastic afternoon, folks. Bye-bye.